Brand new luxury apartments. If you're in the market, listen. Brand new luxury apartments. Champion has a new property, River Park of Dublin, which is a mile south of Dublin. Location is everything. Spacious 1, 2, and 3 bedroom homes, designer finishes, resort style amenities, exceptional customer service. That's Champion. Champion's brand new luxury apartments, River Park of Dublin. Now do something about it. Visit livewithchampion.com. Livewithchampion.com.
One of the largest Star Wars fan collections in the world is coming to Kosai. Unofficial Galaxies opens on May 10th, and this is a one-of-a-kind exhibition with iconic characters, props, legendary ships, costumes, and behind-the-scenes secrets. It's going to be a must-see whether you're a hardcore Star Wars fan or just curious about one of the most famous sci-fi franchises of all time. Unofficial Galaxies is coming to Kosai starting on May 10th. So get your tickets now at kosai.org.
If scary movies give you dread, keep you up late night in bed, here's a podcast that will help you ease your mind. We'll explain the plot real nicely, then we'll talk about what's frightening so you never have to have a spooky time. It's Ruined.
Oh, hello.
Hello.
Welcome to Ruined. My name is Hallie.
And my name is Allison.
And this is a podcast where we ruin a horror movie just for you.
Just for you. Hallie, what's new? How are you?
Truly nothing. I'm okay. I have to finish filing for a tax extension, which I never have before. It somehow feels like a failure, even though it's like, I don't care. Like,
right.
You get my money later.
Yeah,
you're gonna get it, you know?
Yeah. That's so annoying.
But also, like, at the place I'm filing it through an accountant agency or like accountant place. So like I have to still give them all of the information. So I'm
right.
Going to like get one piece of thing, but then I'll be done. And yeah. Then I'll just do it. Like it's just the most horrific process when I know they could just send me a bill and then I could just pay it. And it's like, it's humiliating. It's like, you know, I'm an idiot. You know, I have nothing. Like, I don't know.
It, like, just doing this to me? All it does, like, I no longer really do my taxes. I have, like, an accountant who, like, handles everything, like, from my business. And then, like, my personal taxes are basically just, like, I'm an employee of myself. And so, like, they do it all. But when I used to have to, like, do my own, I was like, this is just showing me how stupid I am.
Right,
I don't need the government to get involved with how dumb I am.
And then whenever I've had this, different people, I go to Brass Taxes in New York. If like, if you're a creative person or work in any sort of creative field and needs, like, extra help, every time I talk, they're like, oh, do you have this? I'm like, you know, I don't have it.
You know, I don't have that. I barely have the paperwork I need to move through the world day to day and stay alive.
Like, yeah, it's just, by the grace of God, they're not putting me in debtor's prison. I'd be sent to Australia. It's so hot down there. I'd burn.
I don't want to go to Australia. It's like Florida.
America's Florida. Oh, no. The globe's
Florida.
How are you doing, Allison?
I'm good. I'm comfortable right now because not to brag, I forgot that last year when I was in Las Vegas, I took the hotel slippers. Just like the little spa slippers that are in hotel rooms. Like, and I always forget that those are there and that they're just going to throw them away. Like,
oh, yeah.
Like, they're disposable. Like, they are, I mean, they're not because, like, they definitely don't break down and they are all plastic or whatever. But, like, my friend and I both took them. And, like, I don't love, like, I don't wear shoes in my home, obviously. But I don't love, like, I have a pair of, like, L.L. Bean, like, Sherpa moccasins. Mm-hmm. But that's, like, too much of a shoe. You know what I mean? For a slipper.
Here, I'm going to show you what I wear around the house.
Yes. See, that's like this. I'm wearing basically the non-fuzzy. They're non-fuzzy slides, but they have like just enough like padding and fabric on the sole for them to be like comfortable and not just like a flip flop.
Mm-hmm.
And they're really just a delight to wear around the home. And I forgot about them, and then I found them in the closet and was like, "Well, this is terrific."
I do feel like the first of all, it sounds incredible. I do feel like. The number one sign of aging is enjoying life's little pleasures. It's like, well, that sounds like a real treat to have. I have a cup of coffee. I'm like, ooh, a cup of coffee's treat me just right. But that's also that's the only way to live. You know
I mean, just like we have nothing else. Like
we literally don't. It's this and this podcast.
It's like a nice candle. Yeah, that's my week. Like
I'm going to light my nice candle.
I know. I'm going to after we get off. I should do that now, actually. Well, like it's out of reach, so. I'll do that.
But when we're living in the commune, which we've decided we're going to be in, we're going to have to decide, like, we'll have to, like, Tuesday you could light your candle, you know, because we are going to have competing candle fragrances.
Yeah, we really, it can't be just, like, all different scents flooding the air of our commune.
Oh no, because you know we'll have a ton of medical problems. We got
100%. We're all going to be on oxygen. It's the whole thing's going to blow up the second you light a match.
Oh, finally. Finally.
It'll be cool to go out in the fiery inferno with a bunch of other older women.
I mean, isn't the world simply that? Speaking of older women, it's okay. Mommy, hope whether you are a mommy or just out there looking for a mommy, you know what I mean?
Hey, everybody. It's Hallie.
And Allison.
And we don't know when you're listening to this, but if it is before May 28th, we have great news. We are doing our next live show, and it is the brand new prequel, sequel, remake, we don't know yet, to The Strangers. It is The Strangers Chapter 1.
Chapter 1, baby. And it's going to be, we're switching things up because we know there is a holiday. So Tuesday, May 28th at 8 p.m. Eastern, 5 p.m. Pacific. That's what we're doing. And you can get your tickets at moment.co/ruined. That is moment.co/ruined. No, we're not going to have new merch. We're just going to have our merch at the show, as well as the chat and a drinking game and, of course, the movie. So please join us for that. Again, that's moment.co/ruined. If you're a top-tier Patreon member, you know you're going to get your tickets the day of, the way that we would. So
another home invasion movie that will allow us to invade your home. We'll see you on the 28th. Thank you, guys. Wishing you an excellent mommy month. And we are keeping it going with a movie that I initially didn't think of for this month because I had ruled it out in general due to its proximity to a real life story. And that movie is, of course, 2020's Run. It is a psychological horror thriller film from Anish Kajanti. And he also directed Searching, starring John Cho. Did we do Searching?
I've seen that movie. More of a thriller, not horror. And it's one of those things where you're like, it is impressive that they did. It's for those who haven't seen it. It's all strung together through digital footage. Like the narrative is like done through phones and Zooms and texts and video and voice memos and stuff. And it's like, there's so much that it works for, but there's always like when those kinds of films, like there's always a moment where you're like, "Woo, this is really forced this part," so that it could continue to work.
Like cut to like a security camera. All right, I'll allow it.
Like,
but I thought it was effective.
I thought it was good.
I also give this movie a lot of credit because, of course, this movie is very similar to the real tale of Gypsy Rose Blanchard's life. I mean, if anyone saw The Act,
starring
Patricia Arquette,
yes,
who I'm obsessed with, this is a very similar Munchausen by proxy mother with severe problems that are projected onto a child.
Yes.
And so I kind of was like, haven't we already seen it?
Yeah.
But I was lured in by what I needed a movie about mothers under 90 minutes because I couldn't do a 2-hour one that day.
Sure.
And then two, Sarah Paulson, one of our preeminent lesbians, who I always enjoyed, probably the highlight of every Ryan Murphy project that she's a part of, and famously a fan of Mommies herself, I had to make any assumptions about the woman. And I will say the acting was great. It also stars Keira Allen, who I didn't know, as the daughter. She's fabulous. So I would say, given that it is a oft-told story, this is a thoroughly enjoyable little film. And Sarah Paulson is great. And she'd be in every horror project.
Yes.
Because she has the perfect white woman. You know, like, it's about at any time, the mask will slip.
Yes.
And the true person will emerge.
I am surprised she has not done more horror features.
I mean, I guess she's just been doing TV
so much TV.
And I guess I understand, like, if you are getting hired by Ryan Murphy, I'm sure you're like, well, I gotta take these.
Yeah,
take
while these. They're coming, or else maybe I'm out.
But yeah, she is fabulous in this. I think I would love to see her in more horror movies. Just someone who, sort of like an Allison Williams, you know, where you're like, oh, I hadn't pictured you in a horror movie, but now I see your frigid, robotic countenance is perfect both for Get Out and for Megan.
Megan, yeah.
She was in. We'll also have to do Split and Glass. Sarah Paulson is also in Glass. She's fabulous in that. Other than that, it's mostly been TV. It looks like, which we support. So yeah, so we will get it started. We always like to have Allison watch the trailer for all of our films. Mm-hmm. What did you think about the trailer for Run from 2020?
I mean, obviously I can see how the story is lifted from the real events of Gypsy Rose Blanchard's life. But very scary. There's also, like, I, in watching the trailer, realized there is a scene that I think is, like, a pivotal, like, realization moment that is not in the trailer but has been served to me. You know how, like, movies and television shows are constantly clipped up on TikTok and you just see them out of context? Mm-hmm. I've seen a scene from this and I was always like, I wonder what movie that is. And the comments are all like, what is this? And so I have seen a scene from this film on TikTok. Sarah Paulson isn't in the scene. It's featuring just the young woman playing the daughter, realizing that she's getting, like, dog pills or something like that.
Yes, a classic moment.
Which is a bummer to have seen, but also I know that that kind of realization moment's going to be in this movie, whether I've seen that moment or not. So, you know. Mm-hmm. Very scary. Also, when she's trying to get on the Wi-Fi to look up her mom and, like, you, the lights are out in the kitchen, but you can see that Sarah Paulson is there in the shadows. Ah!
An excellent shot.
Excellent. It's terrifying.
And that, of course, brings us to our baseline scary. Allison, how scary do you find the concept of being a mommy?
Oh, obviously very terrible. I don't want to do it.
What's the scariest thing about being a mommy to you?
I think, like, how fraught it feels. Mm-hmm. Like, with, like, so much can go wrong every second of every day from the moment you get pregnant to the time you die. Like, that's the thing that to me, like I get scared about something happening to Riz. I do not think that pets and children are the same feelings. Like, don't mistake me there. Like, this is such a small scale in comparison to, like, what real parenting is. But, like, sometimes I'm just like, oh, I left something out that, like, if he were to eat it, he would die. And I'm like, oh, I'm terrifying. Doing that. Think with a child, there's just so much. Like, it is just an evolving nightmare.
Yeah.
Is what it feels like to me, which is why I'm not interested in doing it.
What
about you? Yeah.
Seem like a lot. I feel like, yeah, a lot of my terror around being a mommy is absolutely... And I've talked about this on the podcast before. I'm sorry I'm going to bring it up because it is my number one most irrational fear.
Oh, yes, of course.
And then, of course, is leaving a baby in a car.
Yeah, you have neither a baby nor a car.
So, but there is something about the helplessness of children that is so terrifying.
Yes.
And also, I think this is why these kinds of stories about Munchausen and, you know, it's not like people are both repulsed by and hate child abuse and also... It is so prevalent and is so obviously, like, something that we as human beings have to figure out how to address. And I think, like, you know, both the story this is based on and this movie is so much about a parental figure's inability to distinguish that a child is separate from them or separate from their idea of them and how, you know, that exists in culture in all these different ways. And also when it becomes literal, like it's like their brains are literalizing something that every parent has to understand. Like, okay, when this child was a baby, it was kind of just like, it was now as this child is emerging in this case, you know, about to go off to college, they're becoming its own self and what that triggers in a parent that has a profoundly broken concept of what their own self is and let alone their child. So, there's something about that that's so scary. But yeah, I feel like most of my fears are mostly choking to death, leaving something out. You know, like those kinds of like, you can do your best intentions, but you turn your back on a kid and it chokes to death on a magnet.
No, it's so scary.
How do you move forward? And with that in mind, would you like to guess the twist in the movie Run, Allison?
Guess the twist.
I mean, I like from knowing, you know, the reality of this Munchausen by proxy stories and like, I guess the obvious twist here is like, oh, she's not paralyzed. She's not sick. Like this is all like, she's just been told. Is there an extra level to this or is it that straightforward?
Yes,
I feel like that's not her mom.
Wait, what?
That's not her mom.
Excellent show. Excellent guess.
Which I think they're like, that's not like some huge surprise. I feel like the trailer kind of is leading you towards like, who is this woman?
Yeah.
So.
Excellent
I'm going to guess. I'm going to guess that she, this woman killed her mom and stole her as a baby and has been lying to her about being sick and unable to walk.
Fabulous. Let us begin ruining. Run. We open on a medical team trying to resuscitate a blue newborn. It's a very intricate little puppet they have, like a little tiny doll that's very vivid. It both like looks like it will come alive, and it also looks like it would talk, and it would have like Rizzo the Rat's voice or something.
Yeah.
So very disturbing. We see Sarah Paulson lying in a hospital bed praying. A nurse arrives to take her down to see the baby. They arrive, and we see the baby in one of those baby
incubator
cubes. What is it called?
Incubator?
Yes. Yeah,
is an incubator. That yeah, that's right.
Incubator from the Latin for baby cube.
Mm-hmm, baby cube.
And she, of course, is thrilled to see the baby and says out loud, you know, is she okay? We see, again, there's a lot of really excellent shots where it's like she asks that, and then we see the nurse behind her start rubbing his hands together. He's immediately nervous because the answer is the baby is not okay. Really going to be okay. The baby's going to have a lot going on. And on the screen, just to give us a rundown, we see the definition of a bunch of medical terms. Okay. Arrhythmia, an abnormal heart rate, hemochromatosis, an excess accumulation of iron in the bloodstream, asthma, diabetes, and paralysis. Mm. And we see a group of parents meeting. And we see sort of they're handing back the Kleenex box. One woman's crying. And we realize it's a support group for parents whose kids are going off to college. Like, it's sort of like, beginning of the year, they're entering their senior year. Everyone has a lot of feelings. So it's like, we're having a meeting to talk about this. And one woman's bursting into tears. I went to public school. They weren't doing this kind of meeting. But I think it's nice. No. Like, that would be
My
nice
parents
if
were like,
were doing
thank
that.
God you're getting out of here.
But also, I think, like, there might be some people for whom that changes heart. So it's nice to be able to talk about it and then, you know, sort of allow it to happen.
That's good.
You know?
Yeah.
And so, you know, they're handing back a box of tissues. And they hand the tissue, of course, to Sarah Paulson. Her name is Diane. And they say, well, you know, Diane's here. Her daughter also is a senior. She's going off to college here. Diane, how are you feeling about it? And, of course, she says what you said, where she's like, well, let's see. I've had to care for my daughter for the last 17 years. I have not been able to date. I have not been able to travel. I do not do anything myself.
Yeah.
So I'm really pretty goddamn great. And they all stare at her. And the sobbing mom says, well, aren't you worried about how Chloe is? And Diane doesn't even want to let her say it. She's like, brave, smart, capable. If there's anyone you don't have to worry about, it's Chloe. Speaking of, Chloe is waking up in her bed the next morning, and we see her lift herself into her manual wheelchair. Here she is paraplegic, cannot walk, but, you know, has a manual wheelchair. And we also see their house is outfitted in different accoutrements. She has an electronic chair that takes her down the stairs in the morning. You know, there's guardrails on the toilet, tub, but she's, you know, has a full life.
Yeah.
We see her taking many, many pills every morning and applying ointment to her back. She has a bunch of rashes on her back. She goes downstairs for breakfast.
Suck. I know. Can't reach your back. I could barely take off my own bra. Like, it's a nightmare.
My back is none of my business. What's going on back there?
Nope, if it's that's for somebody else to deal with.
That's for someone else to worry about, not me. At breakfast, we see Chloe test her blood sugar. And when it's high, Diane goes to inject her with insulin. But we have this first moment of, you know, Chloe stops her, takes the syringe, and she injects herself with insulin. So again, it's like, I am my own person. I am giving myself my medical care. But Diane, at least in that moment, it's like, that's fine. We see Diane help her with physical therapy, like stretching out her legs. We see her use her asthma inhaler. We find out that Diane homeschools her, right? Oof. So Diane homeschools her daughter, but Diane is a substitute teacher. So Diane does go to the school. Chloe, it appears, has never been to school, right? Which makes that sense sucks. Considering what we're going to find out. It's like, yeah, that would be hard to keep under your hat. Uh-huh. You know what I mean? Uh-huh. Like if she was talking to other kids, you know?
Yes.
We see her vomit once more throughout the day, take her inhaler. And she hears her mom come to the door that afternoon. Chloe rushes to the door as her mom brings in the mail. And Diane says, I'll tell you, if there's even one college letter, I will close my eyes. I won't open it. I will give it to you. You don't have to worry.
God, homeschooling a child for their whole life and then being like, go to college? Like, my God, what a huge culture shock for that child.
Huge. But understandably, Chloe is amped. She wants to fucking get into college. She's ready to get out. It's like, yeah, she has never been on a date. She's never had friends, really, seemingly. Because I think even if you're homeschooling, and I don't know much about it, but I imagine there's like play dates. You bring kids around other people just to like get them out of the house.
I would think.
But if you don't, you gotta. We see that Diane grows a bunch of their own produce. Like she has like a plot of land. So she's cooking vegetables for dinner that she grew herself. Chloe's blood sugar is a little low after dinner. So Diane gives her a chocolate as a treat. And Chloe wants two, but you know, her mom gives her one. So again, even that, even the treats are controlled by mom. After dinner, Chloe's at her, the family laptop, a family computer, which was of our era, you know, sort of like there's a desktop in the living room. So her mom's watching TV. Chloe's looking at videos of the college that she wants to go to, University of Washington. So
in St. Louis?
Or in
Washington State.
Yeah, in Washington State. So it's in Seattle.
Yes.
And so the implication is that they're outside Seattle. So she'd be going somewhere close by. She's not like she's going to Harvard or anything, which I think also makes sense. Like, why?
One thing at a time.
Exactly. Yeah. Like, let's start there. It seems great. So she wants to watch like move-in videos, but her mom's like, when's the last time we went to the movies? We should hang out more. And again, it's like,
hang out more.
Mom, you got to have a friend, you know?
Yeah.
Chloe's very, she's a computer gal. She's building a printer for herself, but she can't really figure out what's going on. And she complains like, you know, it'd be a lot easier for me to look this up if I had an iPhone and I could just look up things and I'd really go up and down the stairs. Mm-hmm. And her mom's like, okay, I'll get you a phone, whatever. Of course, if you're 17 now, you would already have a phone, you know?
100%.
Would that also be bad for your mental health? Absolutely.
Yes.
At the end of the day, Chloe goes to bed and Diane retires to her own room to do what I presume she does every night. Drink wine and watch videos of baby Chloe and dread what will happen when her daughter leaves her control.
I mean, that's probably what I would do.
You got to get on Match.com. I don't know which one's right for this woman, but you got to get out of
something.
There. You got to at least
go to meet some people. Date.
Like Bumble Friends or whatever. Like you got to go to play soccer, co-ed soccer, whatever. The next day, Diane comes home. After substitute teaching, she has groceries. And when she puts the groceries on, she goes back out to the car. Chloe goes through the bags. She's grabbing a handful of chocolates to stash for later. I should be in control of when I get a treat.
Hide treats from myself in my house.
And you have to.
And then I find a bag of Hershey Kisses in my liquor cabinet. And I'm like, win-win.
Allison, you're a 40-year-old woman. You should not be Hershey's Kisses?
But like,
what is this, Easter at public school? What do you mean?
I love a Hershey's Kiss, controversially.
Wow. That's the craziest thing I've ever heard you
say. It's like, you know how like you crave like good pizza, but sometimes you're like, I kind of want Domino's. Like,
okay, yes, I do know it.
It's that, like, I'm like, I don't think it's good chocolate. It's made in a factory. But like, it's plastic, basically. But like, they are a treat for me, but like I will eat the whole bag and I will get sick like a dog.
Wow. Well, you know, that all adds up to me now that you say it out loud like that.
Yeah.
So she's grabbing some delicious Hershey
kisses.
When she finds a prescription bottle that has her mother's name on it and she sees inside there green and clear pills. Mm-hmm. But again, it's her mother's medication. She's kind of, you know, wondering, but she puts it back. It's none of her business. That night, Diane brings Chloe her medication and says, you know, I know the doctor switched over some of your medication recently. They just switched over one of the newer ones. So it's the same pill. It just looks a little different. Of course, when Chloe sees it, it's the green and clear pills, which were in a bottle for her mother.
Yes.
And what I think makes this movie actually compelling is that they do seem to have some kind of good relationship because in the act, just hear Blanchard's never asking her mother about that pill bottle. This movie, right. Chloe still has a trust of her mother and says,
yes.
Well, I saw it when I went to go get some chocolate. I shouldn't have been eating the chocolate, but I saw your name was on that pill bottle. It's not for me. And so her mom's like, well, you shouldn't be eating the chocolate. I calibrate your meals so you don't need more than one. And the principal asked me to substitute pre-calc tomorrow. So I'm going to do that. Chloe, of course, is like, but your name is on it. And her
when
mom says,
substitute teaching, the daughter's just not going to school?
Yeah, I guess not. I think we're to believe, like, because of her medical ailments, like, she just, it's just easier for her. But it's like, if your mom's at the school, that seems like the
And also, like, your mom's your teacher. So now, yeah. If she's teaching other kids, it means she's not teaching. So you just don't have school when mom goes to teach more?
Well, she gives her assignments. Like, we see her, give her reading assignments. And she does do it. She's very smart. She's building a printer, which does seem hard.
I can't even use a printer.
Chloe says, your name is on the bottle. And her mom says, actually, it's on there because that's actually the receipt. They wrap the receipt around the bottle. It's because I ordered it. I placed the order. It wasn't that for you, Right. Unfortunately, for Diane, you cannot raise a child to be smart and then also do stuff like this. Because Chloe's like, what are you talking about? And because Diane is out of the picture the next day, Chloe uses her robot skills or building skills to build a claw arm to reach the top of the medicine cabinet for the green and clear pills.
Okay.
Before she can take it down and read the name on it, a car pulls into the gravel driveway. Mm. Chloe rushes over to the window and sees it's the mail truck. So she's thrilled. She makes her way downstairs.
Letters. Yeah.
Hurries to the door. And as she goes to the door, her mom is just opening it, mail in hand, instantaneously. And it's like, how did that happen so fast?
Yeah.
Behind her, Chloe can see that her mom's car door, the car is still on, the headlights are on. The door is open and the door is pinging. So her mom bolted out of her car to get the mail. Later, we see that Chloe has taken the pill bottle and hidden it in her room and reads the medication name, Tagoxin.
Okay.
She also says that it does say her name on the label and she's reassured. Of course, Allison, when she peels it off, she finds the scratch-off original label with her mother's name.
Oof.
That night, Diane appears in her daughter's doorway and says, "You figured it out." So, of course, he's like, oh. But, of course, she just means something regarding the printer. It's like, mm-hmm. Oh, you're so smart. She gives Chloe her pills, wishes her good night. And as soon as Diane leaves, Chloe spits out the pills and hides them. Wouldn't you know it, Allison? That night, Chloe sneaks down to the family desktop after she assumes her mother goes to sleep and searches what Tagoxin is for. And the internet is down. And that is the scene where we see Diane sitting in the dark of the kitchen watching her daughter attempt to Google something in silence.
No. It's so scary.
And there is something being cut off the internet when you are this isolated is terrifying. Because it's like, I guess you have the TV, but your mother could get rid of that too.
Yeah.
It's kind of like how people think that people in prison shouldn't. There's this insane thing where, you shouldn't have access to books or internet. And it's like, that is just psychological torture. Not making somebody bitter or, that has nothing to do with anything other than
that's
making
not rehabilitation. People feel, that's not anything. That's literal torture.
And it's cruelty when we all live in a world in which the internet and information is available. So, as you can imagine, Chloe is getting more and more frustrated. But seemingly, again, not wanting to presume the worst of her mother, but she's too smart to not notice. She cannot convince herself that this is, isn't what it is. In the morning, she comes to breakfast. Diane's on the phone yelling at someone. And Chloe says, is that at the internet? And it turns out the internet isn't just down in their neighborhood. It might be down to the end of the month, Allison.
Oh, boy.
If that were to happen, people would burn down Spectrum. What I mean?
It would be chaos.
Yeah. People would be in the streets rioting.
Our internet goes down for 5 minutes. I can hear people in my building losing their fucking minds.
Just shrieking. But when Diane hangs up, she says, well, how did you know about the internet? And Chloe says, well, I used it when you went to sleep. I was looking up why my printer isn't working. I think I need a new ink nozzle. I was trying to Google that. And Diane says, well, do you need an ink nozzle? Chloe says, well, I don't know. The internet was down. Two can play in this game, mother.
So arch.
Diane goes outside to garden, and we see her collecting these big, just delicious red tomatoes. All the produce looks great. She's doing a great job with the produce.
I wish I could be that person.
Chloe tries to call their pharmacy to ask what the pill is, basically, or what Tagoxin is. And the pharmacist recognizes the phone number. It says, oh, Diane. And then Chloe has to immediately hang up. She doesn't want her mother to somehow find out.
Yes.
She then calls 411 and has a connect to basically the first alphabetical pharmacy in Seattle, right? But then when they're about to connect, they say, hey, just, a 99-cent charge will be put on your bill. She's realizing, well, my mother will see that.
And know that I was up to something.
Allison, Chloe then calls a regular random number. And not only does this guy answer, even though he's arguing with his girlfriend, Paula, but he stays on and agrees to Google the question of what the pill is, which I thought was, what a strange man. But thank God she got him.
Yeah, you know? Yeah, that's great. If somebody called me, one, I wouldn't have answered. And two, it would end up with me just yelling at them about how bad Google is.
Like, oh, girl. You'd end up screaming. Sorry, it's trigoxin with an R, trigoxin.
All right.
He said, okay, I'm Googling trigoxin. It's a pill to treat heart failure. And she's like, okay, relieved. But then realizes to ask, what color are the pills? And we get this shot of, as she asked, we see Sarah Paulson picking a big fat red tomato out of the garden. And the man on the phone says, trigoxin, it looks, based on the photos, it's little red pills. So that is not the medication in the trigoxin bottle. This is the proof Chloe needs that something is desperately wrong, right? She pops her top, she hangs up, and she looks at the pill and she says out loud, what the hell are you? At dinner, Chloe asks her mother, when's the last time we saw a movie? And Diane, thrilled that her daughter wants to hang out with her, says, well, what do you want to see? They get ready to go, and Chloe empties her piggy bank, which is full of the medication, all of it. She's not taking any of it that she has stopped taking, right? So she is now off her medication for at least a couple days. She takes the pills with her. I was thinking she was going to OD at the movies and go to a hospital, which I actually think was the should have been what she did.
Yeah.
Because at least then if you're out, if you're taken to a facility, you could maybe have alone time and be like, here's what's going on. But maybe she's not there yet. They go to the movie theater. And the movie they're seeing is called Breakout. And the movie that's coming soon is called Fake News. I thought that was funny. And she sees across the street, there's a pet clinic and a pharmacy. So when the movie's playing, Diane is rapt. She's loving Breakout. It is the breakout hit of the year.
I am glad that she's seeing something she likes.
And, you know, that is a place you go for magic. And I do think both of them could use a touch of magic at this point. Chloe says to her mother during the movie, I'm going to go pee, heads out. And of course, she takes a hit of her inhaler of her strength. And then she's racing against time to go to the pharmacy. So she gets to the pharmacy, and when she gets there, there's a comically long line.
Of course.
Which to me seems like an M. Night Shyamalan decision. Like he will just do something, like have like a funny moment in this tense moment. I thought, I appreciated that. And so she basically was like, fuck it. Sorry, everyone. I'm paralyzed. Please feel bad
it's like,
me.
If you're not going to use that
to
your advantage sometimes. Yes. If it's not this time, what time is it?
And I know, obviously, if you're someone listening in a wheelchair, I don't want you to feel like, in any way, like you have to. At the same time, I think you're allowed to do that whenever you want.
I think so, too. Absolutely.
Please, come on. She gets the pharmacist, who's the one who answered the phone. So she knows Chloe and Diane. And she said, could you please look up this pill? It's under my mom's name. But of course, the pharmacist says, well, if it's under your mother's name, it's for her. I can't look up somebody else's medication. I can look up your medication. But that's obviously not what's going on, right?
Okay.
And so Chloe says, no, if you can look it up, it's for a scavenger hunt. And Prebs is like, well, I don't know. But that's enough to get her to actually look it up. And she says, oh, you know what? If it's a scavenger hunt, it must be a trick question.
Because your mom doesn't get these prescribed for herself.
Yes, she does. I saw them. She had them in her bag and her name...
She gets them for your dog.
Allison, they don't have a dog. Chloe says,
also, normally when you have dog medication, they put the dog's name on it.
Oh, that's cute. Well, so we find out, like, they share a pharmacy with the pet clinic next door, right?
Okay.
And so I guess we're to assume you could get it filled, which actually is pretty convenient. This is what small-town America is all about.
Yeah, that's great.
And she says, this is a dog muscle relaxant. This is a muscle relaxant for animals.
Sounds great.
And before Chloe pop a few of those, glass of red wine.
Chill out.
Sail on into oblivion. Before Chloe can answer, Diane bursts into the pharmacy and shouts in front of everyone, Chloe! Allison, if this was you, what would you do?
What would you do?
I would make a scene so bad in that pharmacy that they would need to call cops. And then I would hope that I could get separated from my mother enough to like talk to a police officer and be like, okay, there's a lot of stuff going on and I like need another adult to be like on my side with this and like sort it out. Like I would just be like, I would make myself throw up on the floor. I would scream. I would knock over a bunch of shit. Like I would be like, I am not leaving and hope I could get all of the other patrons of this pharmacy on my side so that they're not just like, ooh, go with your mom.
Yeah. And it is hard because it's like, okay, in that situation, they would call the cops. And it's like, oh boy, like putting the cops in this situation or many situations is not seem like a solution. But
no.
Also, what is she, all she could do is create some distance between her and her mother.
Yeah.
Brand new luxury apartments. If you're in the market, listen, brand new luxury apartments. Champion has a new property, River Park of Dublin, which is a mile south of Dublin. Location is everything. Spacious 1, 2, and 3 bedroom homes, designer finishes, resort style amenities, exceptional customer service. That's Champion. Champion's brand new luxury apartments, River Park of Dublin. Now do something about it. Visit livewithchampion.com. Livewithchampion.com.
One of the largest Star Wars fan collections in the world is coming to Kosai. Unofficial Galaxies opens on May 10th, and this is a one-of-a-kind exhibition with iconic characters, props, legendary ships, costumes, and behind-the-scenes secrets. It's going to be a must-see whether you're a hardcore Star Wars fan or just curious about one of the most famous sci-fi franchises of all time. Unofficial Galaxies is coming to Kosai starting on May 10th. So get your tickets now at kosai.org.
Chloe starts hyperventilating and panicking, and Diane leaps into medical savior mode. Like, this is a medical distress. I can run in and save her.
Yes.
She screams for everyone to get back, and she injects her daughter in the thigh with a sedative. So she just stabs her with a syringe she had on hand. Again, not don't love to see that, you know.
No, that's not great.
Chloe passes out. Diane drives them home. At home, we see Diane in the shower, and her back is covered in scars. Ooh. And we don't find out anything else about Diane's backstory, but we see this. So yeah. We know that there is a long backstory of why she is this person.
Yes.
And again, I appreciate that. You don't have to explain everything. I see that.
Right.
I'm like, okay,
this
is a damaged person who is entering a phase of life where she is slowly losing control of the only thing that she's been able to exert total control over, her daughter. We see Diane on the phone, pacing around the kitchen with the pharmacy, saying, like, I'm really sorry, you know, the doctor switched her medication last week, and she's been, I'm afraid she's starting to have delusions. I really apologize. This is so out of character, and we know each other. You know me. And I was wondering if you could call Chloe even and just let her know, like, that's obviously not the medication I gave her. And I mean, even if it was, there wouldn't be anything wrong with it. It'd be fine.
That's Allison, a weird thing to include.
Diane then drops her hand and we see she's not even on the phone. She's just talking out loud. So Chloe thinks that she's calling the pharmacy or thinks she's caring.
Oh, God.
And she's not even doing that.
The level of I mean, it's more than a grift, but the grift that this is, it's so deep.
That night, we see her typing an email to Chloe's doctor and saying, I am furious. The medication switched is causing Chloe to become delusional. She's obviously planting the seeds of, she is so untrustworthy that I will be her, not simply her medical caregiver, but potentially I can be, you know,
yes.
It's control is being given over to me in a new way. We also see her Googling the phrase household neurotoxins. And I was like, if you're going to call it kill your daughter, bitch, you should at least be on incognito mode.
Yeah.
Even then, they can look that up.
No, that's bad.
Don't just Google household neurotoxins.
Also, yeah, she's like been so on top of all of her lies. This feels like such a huge miss.
And I guess maybe that's where the thing, too, is like she's starting to spiral.
Yes.
Even she's getting sloppy.
Getting careless, yeah.
Allison, next day, Chloe gets up and there's a plate of food next to her bed. She panics, jumps in her wheelchair and goes to the door and it is locked from the outside. She's locked into her bedroom.
No.
She calls her mother, but there's no response. And when she looks outside, her mother's car is gone. So she's been locked in her room for the day. Chloe, and there's not even, I mean, maybe there's a bathroom connecting it, but I didn't see one. So I'm like, what's the plan here?
Yeah.
But I guess we're past plans and more and on to I'm locking my child
crisis
in her room.
Yes.
Chloe attempts to pick the doorknob and she's able to undo the lock. But when she goes to open it, we see that Diana has jerry-rigged a garden rake across the door. So then Chloe cannot open it. So there's a physical barrier outside the door now, right? But Chloe has the can-do attitude that University of Washington would love to have. So she ties off her many power cables and cords she has and lowers herself out the window
wow
onto it's like the overhang of the porch. You know what I mean? Yes. Like it's two-story with like a shingled overhang.
Yeah, so
overhang.
It's like, yeah, yeah.
So she also takes a mouthful of water that she keeps in her mouth. And we see her and she goes to the next window and she plugs in a soldering iron that she had was building a printer with, stabs the soldering iron into the glass and it superheats the glass and she spits the water and it shatters the window, which I thought was cool. I'm not exactly sure why you need to do all that, but it was genius.
I guess there's no shards since she's not as, if she's going in that window, like you would kind of need it to be.
Right. You wouldn't be able to open it and you can't just drop all these. I don't think she could have just dropped onto the ground. And also then you wouldn't have your wheelchair, you know, like.
Yeah, right. Okay.
She's doing the best she can, right?
Yeah. I mean, that's some science at work.
She crawls in the window and she immediately starts having an asthma attack and she has to haul herself down the hallway. And get to the door. It has to like drag herself and then get the rake off the outside of the door. Manages to barely get inside, takes a hit of her inhaler and goes, mother, which I appreciated.
I like that.
She then goes to the mechanical chair, of course, to find out it has also been disabled. So she has to push her wheelchair down the stairs.
Oh my God.
And then essentially has to push herself down the stairs. And this poor bitch basically topples down an entire flight of stairs.
Hey.
She lands flat on her back. And when she goes to sit up, she realizes she is now able to wiggle her big toe. So she has not been taking her medication. So she is slowly regaining movement in her feet.
Yeah.
She can't walk or anything. She can't stand up yet. But clearly, and she's overjoyed. And also it's proof. Like I was right.
Yeah.
Like something, I have been taking medication. Yeah. So she gets in her chair. She gets out of the driveway. She's hauling ass down this. So it's of course they're in the middle of the country. It's a country road. There's no one else around.
Yeah.
And we see Diane on her drive back. And she has a paper bag from the hardware store in the back seat.
Not great.
And again, girl, you Googled household door truck and taxes and there's a receipt from whatever Home Depot the next day. They're going
to
piece
for whatever the fuck diabolical thing you bought to destroy your daughter's life.
Chloe is wheeling down a country road. She ducks off the road as she hears a car coming around a turn, only to see it's the mail truck. And basically, in order to get him to stop, wheels directly in front of it, screeches to a stop, and the mailman, whose name is Tom, runs out in a panic because he knows them for the route. Like, he's clearly been doing this for years. He's like, what's going on? And she says, I need your help. He wheels her to the side of the truck, and that's when she sees her mother's car pull up behind them. So the mother saw her in the road and sees her with Tom the mailman, and she runs over. And this is just acting tour de force from Sarah Paulson. The next, like, 7 minutes are just her, like, switching tactics. It's like, how to convince this guy to let them leave, you know?
Yeah.
And she tells the mailman, like, oh, my God, you know, meanwhile, before her mother can get out of the car, Chloe says, I need your help. You know, and the mailman is no slouch. He understands, like, something is going badly wrong. This would not, a teenager would not be wheeling down the road unless she was escaping abuse.
Something,
like,
right.
She's this running away. Yeah.
She's not like a rebellious teen. Like, this is,
and honestly, most rebellious teens, that it's the kind of stuff, unfortunately, is happening at home.
Yeah.
So he gets out to talk to Diane. Diane screaming again, like, oh my God, is my daughter hurt? What happened? And Tom says, Tom shouldn't have said this. He's like, well, she says that you hurt her. And Diane says, she says I hurt my own daughter, which I think that phrasing really speaks to Diane's.
Yes.
Like, it's like, her idea of her as your daughter is different than her as a person.
Yes.
And she says, you know, I'm sorry, Tom. The doctor changed her medication. She's been delusional. I don't know she doesn't even know what she's saying. You know, I don't know what she's saying. But Tom's, again, is reading it correctly, blocks her from going to Chloe. And so Diane changes tactics. It's like, I'm supposed to trust that you, an adult man who is alone with my distraught, disabled, underage daughter, how am I to believe that you didn't do something to her? We'll see what 911 has to say about it. And she holds up the phone to call 911, that she holds it to her ear and just stands there in silence. And Tom says, I don't think there's a reception out here. She's not actually calling, right? So he's like, I know that you aren't calling them. Finally, she changes tactics once again and says, you know, Tom, you've known me. You know me for years. We have been through so much. You know, we've been through so much. People can't even imagine it. And I just want, if you could just let me take her home, we could resolve this. Mm-hmm. And Tom says, I cannot let you do that. He knows
Tom.
Tom really, unfortunately, things don't go great for him, but he was a real bench in this moment and he did the right thing. And Diane says, okay, then let me follow you to the hospital. Which is like, okay. Tom says to Chloe, goes to Chloe and says, do you want to go to the hospital or police? And she says, police. She's like, I'm actually doing better than ever now that I'm on medication. He helps her to the back of the mail truck. And just as he's about to shut it, we see Diane rear up behind him and stab him in the neck with a syringe.
No.
And he collapses. And we see Diane lock eyes with
her
daughter.
She's getting messy.
It's getting real messy. It's going to get messier.
I bet.
And in that moment, we see there's a gun in a box in the trunk of Diane's car. Chekhov's mommy. Allison, that brings me to my question. Next question. Who will survive this movie?
Who will survive?
I think Chloe's going to kill her mother.
Okay. How's she going to do it? How do you think she's going to do it?
I think she's going to shoot her. I think she's going to get her hands on the gun.
I was going to say put her head in the printer. Use the soldering iron again. But we already have the soldering iron.
Yeah.
But yes. Once we've introduced a gun, you know, we can only imagine there will be gunplay later in the film.
Brand new luxury apartments. If you're in the market, listen, brand new luxury apartments. Champion has a new property, River Park of Dublin, which is a mile south of Dublin. Location is everything. Spacious 1, 2, and 3 bedroom homes, designer finishes, resort style amenities, exceptional customer service. That's Champion. Champion's brand new luxury apartments, River Park of Dublin. Now do something about it. Visit livewithchampion.com. Livewithchampion.com.
One of the largest Star Wars fan collections in the world is coming to Kosai. Unofficial Galaxies opens on May 10th, and this is a one-of-a-kind exhibition with iconic characters, props, legendary ships, costumes, and behind-the-scenes secrets. It's going to be a must-see whether you're a hardcore Star Wars fan or just curious about one of the most famous sci-fi franchises of all time. Unofficial Galaxies is coming to Kosai starting on May 10th. So get your tickets now at kosai.org.
Back in the house, we see that Chloe sits waiting for her mother in the basement. In the basement, of course, a ton of boxes, relics of the past, secrets to be discovered, and also some sort of like lab where her mother cooks up things. Which you don't like to find out about a lab your mother has in the basement.
No,
right?
No, definitely not one that you didn't know existed until you were forced down there.
Oh, yeah, if you knew about it, then it's fine. Do whatever you want.
It's like, mom loves chemistry. Like, fine. But, like, not a secret lab.
Allison, Chloe finds the acceptance letter from University of Washington, which, of course, her mother opened and, of course, was hiding from her. She got in. And she goes apeshit, finally, and is just screaming and tearing the place apart, throwing things over. Meanwhile, we see Diane literally dragging Tom the mailman's body down a hallway.
Great.
I don't know what she thinks she's going to do with that. You have an entire mail truck.
Right.
I guess maybe if you would put him in the truck, maybe they wouldn't figure out how he died. Maybe they thought he had a heart attack or something.
Is he dead or just sedated?
He's dead because there's literally a trail of blood under his body.
Oh, God.
He's immobile. So because I thought, okay, she sedated him, whatever.
Just to buy herself some time.
And I guess, like, she's not willing to risk it because now he knows too much, and he did. You know, lie to the police all you want. Tom seems like somebody the cops would believe.
Yes.
Allison, Chloe finds a box titled Diana Barrenway. Again, her mother's name is Diane. She goes to pick it up, only realize that her wheelchair is literally chained to her mother's work table. So she is physically cannot, she has to get up, crawl over, and opens the box to find a bunch of her baby stuff. She finds a photo of herself with a post-it on it that says Chloe B. Day 2006. And when she takes off the post-it, of course, we can see that she's running. So again, she's like a toddler. But in her understanding, that was a birth injury.
Right.
You know, like she cannot. So this is her years ago, running, legs working like a dream.
Yeah.
Allison, we see her birth certificate, and I also am unfortunately sad to tell you there is a death certificate. It's a death certificate for Chloe.
What?
It says that she died when she was 2 hours and 11 minutes old. And in the same box, in case we weren't, because I was like, oh, it'd be fun if she didn't exist. That's interesting, or she's a ghost.
Yeah. Yes.
But as you predicted, we see a cutout. Because if you're going to do something crazy, you got to cut out the newspaper article, obviously.
Obviously.
It says, newborn baby snatched from Stockton Hospital. And a photo of a sobbing couple talking to the press, begging them to please help find our infant. We, of course, cut back to that initial scene of Diane in the hospital. And her baby never made it. So she snatched another one. And we see her looking through the glass at all the beautiful babies, just thinking, which one am I going to snatch?
Wasn't there, like, security footage?
I think now there is. But I guess if it, like, but then it's like, what 2000? Because she's only 18. So it's like, yeah, but in the early 2000s, there would have been.
Right.
But I don't know. I still think that is something that we don't want to believe exists because it's so shocking. Yes. So I wouldn't be surprised, you know, like, if you could do it just because it's such a bizarre, out of left field thing to do, that the hospital has other issues going on. Like, they have other things to plan through. And then that, but I guess that's sort of how Munchausen works, where it's like,
yeah,
most of the time parents are genuinely wanting their kids to get well. So when someone doesn't want that and is, in fact, that is the opposite
making
of what
them
they want.
Ill, yes.
I imagine it is just so bureaucratically difficult to prove, take so much longer because of that. But she got snatched. And of course, Chloe is understanding this for the first time. And she breaks down weeping. And at the top of the stairs, we see the light turn on. And Diane starts to descend into the basement. Maybe this is Sarah Paulson's time to shine.
Here we go.
Chloe says, so you're not my real mom. And Diane says, of course I'm your real mother. Of course I am. And Chloe holds up the newspaper clipping. He says, then who are these people? And Diane screams, I saved you from them. No one in the universe loves their kid as much as I do.
Wow.
Everything I do is for you. Great. But Chloe says, wait. Was I ever actually sick? And Diane, of course, is not trying to answer that because the answer is no. And he's like, name one time when I wasn't a good mom to you. And Chloe's
literally
like,
can
I actually walk? Can my heart actually beat normally? Could I actually not be covered in rashes? And she says, you poisoned me. And Diane, like, she can't even stand to hear. She clamps her hand over Chloe's mouth and she says, I protected you. And then, of course, Chloe looks down and sees Tom the mailman's blood on her mother's clothes. And Diane says, no, he's just sleeping. He's fine. He's just sleeping.
He's taking a bloody nap.
Dreaming about all that mail he's going to deliver.
He loves mail.
Diane holds out her hand and says, everything I did was for you, Chloe. And Chloe's like, you didn't do this for me. You did this for you. Which, like, again, you cannot raise a child to be smart and not have them be like, but what are you doing?
Yeah.
Unfortunately, Allison, Diana storms into the other room and brings out some sort of medical apparatus. And I don't know what it's called, but it looks like a machine for when you have to be intubated.
Oh.
And say if you were so completely disconnected from yourself that you have to be intubated. And how would you get in that place? Well, your mom would go to the stovetop and pour paint thinner into a pot and start cooking it down. Which is,
wouldn't the fumes from doing that kill them both?
You know, you'd think.
I don't know anything about paint thinner, but it certainly seems like it's pretty dangerous to cook
with. Yeah, you shouldn't cook it in an open pot with people in the house. I think we would all agree on that.
Yes.
Chloe screams, please don't do something bad. And we see Diana dip a syringe into the hot paint thinner and pull it a syringe full of it. Chloe's screaming and she's trying to back up, like scoot back across the floor. She says, I do not want to die, please. And Diane's sobbing. She's like, don't say that. I would never, ever do that. Chloe's able to get into a closet and kick the door closed and is able to, like, lock the door from the inside. And so Diane's begging her from the outside. It's like,
I'm not going to hurt you. This is going to make you forget all of this. And when you wake up, I'll be right by your side.
And you'll be my baby forever. Oh, in that case, let me open that door back up.
Boy.
We see Chloe look up, and there are just shelves of medications, all sort of medical supplies. And she starts to get an idea. And Diane falls silent when she hears Chloe rattling around. So then Diane starts running around to find keys to open it from the outside.
Mm-hmm.
And Chloe finds a bottle of organophosphate. And it says on it, if ingested, call 911 immediately. Diane finds the keys, opens the door, and as she bursts in, Chloe screams, you need me. and drinks the organophosphate, which both of us had the idea either OD at the movies or maybe in the pharmacy, go to the hospital, get something. And she had the right idea. She tried to do it with Tom.
Right. She was taking some more measured steps, and we were both at a 10 already.
Exactly. And now she's at a 10, and she's going to drink something to force, either kill her or force her mother to take the hospital. Dan, of course, screams, looking around something to give her, but it's too late. Chloe starts coughing up blood. Allison, sometime later, we see Chloe open her eyes in the hospital bed. She is functional. She is intubated, though. Mm-hmm. And she is so weak, she cannot move to press the call button. So she's alive. So she's cognizant. She knows everything's happening.
Okay.
She knows what's happening, but is in a state where she cannot say anything
physically,
to anyone.
Physically,
yeah. Fortunately, the doctors are at least smart enough to like take Diane in a room and be like, you know, so she's stabilized. We think she's going to be okay. You know, we're looking at her extensive medical records, and boy, we've really noticed some discrepancies here. For example, she changed her doctor 6 times in the last year, which I took to mean like medication shopping or like that doctor started knowing something, you have to keep moving. Cause like doctors will notice in all these stories, it's like, even the Gypsy Rose Blanchard, like a doctor noticed and did try to report it.
Right.
But it's such a high standard because of like what it is. I don't know. Yeah. You'd think there'd be, I'm sure there are more things in place now than, you know, when that happened to her.
Yeah.
But these doctors are like, yeah, something bad is wrong here. And so her mother like watches her through the window of her room and then kind of waves and starts to leave. Cause I think her mom's like, I will bounce if I have to. Finally, when her mother's not watching her, Chloe's able to hit the call button and the nurse gives her a purple crayon and some paper to write on. And the nurse is like so chatty and nice. Like she's like, oh, sorry, I can't give you a pen. Hospital rule, you know, you might kill yourself. So I got your crayon and just take your time. You know, you're in no rush, like just talking to her. But of course, it's barely legible. So she's trying to draw an M, of course. Allison, just when she gets through M, there's a code blue. And the nurse has to rush out. Somebody's flatlining, crash or whatever. And of course, we see Chloe's panicking because she knows, Grace, so I'm going to be alone in this fucking room. And we cut to the machine. We see her blood pressure start to spike. And then suddenly she flatlines. But of course, she's not flatlining. Her mother has yanked out the cords and is starting to steal Chloe from the hospital. And while the doctors are distracted. Her mother's able to get Chloe into a wheelchair and is wheeling down the hallway, which is full of patients, doctors, but Chloe is still so weak
that she can't even like call out.
So she's looking at everyone, but again, no, you're in a hospital. Like nobody's really interacting with her in that way.
And also you're not going to look at like a child being wheeled by their parent and assume that like that's bad.
Yeah. You don't know the whole backstory. You haven't seen the movie Run yet.
Right.
The nurse gets back and sees Chloe gone and even calls it. He's like, did somebody move the patient? Where it's like, that's obviously not what happened. They would have told you.
Yes.
And also her cords are everywhere and the machine's flatlining. And someone says, no, why? What happened? And she looks at the paper and it says the word mom. And the nurse realizes, oh, I fucked up.
Yeah.
We then hear of the intercom. I mean, she
hard to guess that. Yeah.
We hear of the intercom security being called to the South Wing. And I think they shot this last sequence in LAX. Because like it looks like an airport, but just like there's like a fake little like check-in desk, and then they needed a set of stairs and escalators, right?
Oh yeah.
And so they're running to the security's running to, apparently that's the exit. I imagine they're going towards the parking garage. They're running over, and as her mother runs to the escalators, we also see the elevators. Luckily, the elevators are out. They're not functioning. So her mother starts to panic. It's like, well, how are we going to get her down? You know, Chloe sees in this moment a sign that says University of Washington Medical Campus. And she says, fuck this. I'm going to college. I'm not fucking doing this anymore. So she throws on the wheelchair brakes so her mother can't push her. Diane loses it on her, of course. And as Diane watches, Chloe moves her legs and begins to stand up. And she says to her mother, I don't need you. And her mother takes out her gun and points it at her daughter and says, you will.
Pulling out a gun in a hospital is like a wild thing.
And I couldn't be happier to see Sarah Paulson do it. Honestly,
I mean,
I'm like,
if anyone's going to.
She's chewing, as TikTok might say. So she points her gun. Luckily, security has arrived. And she waves her gun at them, screaming, we're going home.
Terrific.
Of course, security shoots her in the shoulder.
Okay.
Which would have stopped her enough. But she falls backwards and she falls down the longest, steepest flight of stairs I have ever seen. And it's in slow motion. And then you hear her head thud against the steps. And then security runs down. You hear her head thud again. And finally, we get the shot of Chloe seeing her mother's broken body on the floor. Next, you know, we're following a car winding through a forest to a penitentiary. The guards know Chloe. It seems like she's been coming here. It looks like it's a few years later.
Okay.
You know, so she's a little more done. I'm thinking this is after college. Like, mm-hmm. she ended up going. Now she has a job. They greet her. She's in the wheelchair still, but she gets up and she walks through security. So she wanted to walk to her mother, basically. Mm-hmm. But she's in a wheelchair most of the time.
If you didn't walk for 16 years, like the muscle, yes. like it, you don't just like suddenly be like, I walk around now. Like, I think it would be a slow process.
And we hear her talking to her mother, you know, in voiceover as we sort of pan down the hallway at the prison. And she says, you know,
my walk's gotten better. Trainer says it may improve or it may not, but I'm happy either way.
Annie's learning to walk at the same time, which is really cute. She walks like Godzilla, which I've really been loving. She spent Christmas with all of her grandparents, but I think she likes mine more. R is good. He hates his job, but we're trying to work that out. And last week I got to put legs on a 7-year-old, which as someone with prosthetics in my family, I immediately like, oh, she went to prosthetics. What a great job place for her.
Oh, that's so great.
With someone who had all this medical trauma, it's a great place to put it. And it with a engineer's mind.
Yes, exactly.
Which I love for her character.
That's so great.
And then we turn and she's talking to Diana, who is awake and listening, but not obviously not there and cannot speak, right? But alive. And Chloe says, you know, it was really good to see you, Mom, but I think it's time for me to go. But before I do, and as we watch, Chloe sort of retches up something into her mouth and she pulls out, it's a packet of 3 pills, the green and clear pills, the dog muscle relaxant. And she says, I love you, Mom. Now open wide. And I think the implication is that she has been giving her mother this for the last however many years to keep her mother paralyzed.
Wow.
The end.
Wow.
Yeah.
That's fun.
It's really fun. What are some fatal mistakes you think were made in the movie? Run.
Fatal mistakes.
I mean, stealing a baby and poisoning them for their entire life so that you can care for a ill person who is not actually ill. Pretty big.
Yeah, it's hard to balance the tone of something like this because of how monstrous this is. Yes. And also now that it's kind of more known in public culture. But I think they did a really good job of this. Like, this worked perfectly because she had total control. And now that she is approaching this, that things start to immediately fall apart because you cannot treat another human being like this. You cannot control someone in this kind of punishing way. The biggest mistake of all is thinking the hubris, overweighting pride of man to think that you have any kind of control whatsoever.
Yeah. And I guess like Chloe could have like tried to, but you know, she was trying to tell people along the way, like once she discovered what was good, like she did everything right. Like, she was curious, investigative, like knew how to cover her tracks. Like she did a good job, but again, I would have done what, you know, we would have both been at a 10.
Absolutely. I'd like to think so.
Have you seen Sharp Objects?
You know, I started it, but I couldn't finish it. I liked it. I'll be honest. It's so grim. I think I just wasn't in the mood for it.
Yeah. It is
I also,
grim.
This is my opinion. It's one of these many shows that I think should have just been a feature. I think a lot of things didn't have to be, but I know it's supposed to be a good one.
It's good. Well, also the book is great and really short. So.
Yeah, I'm trying to remember if I read that one. I mean, I know I read Gone Girl.
Yeah. I read it in like a day.
It seems like a perfect beach read.
Great.
How many episodes is it? 8? Like okay, I could do that.
8?
Ugh, yeah, it's like.
Yeah, it should have been a feature. But I will say, like, the final episode where things all come together is excellently done. And I feel like Patricia Clarkson lives in the Sarah Paulson world of like horrifying white woman, but then also good at comedy. And it's like, rude.
I know, they've got it all. She's really got it all.
She really has. She's got it all.
And then where would you place run on the spooky scale, Allison?
A spooky scale.
I feel like, I mean, the what it's about is so horrific. But also it feels like it dips into, it is thrillery in ways because you're trying, like, uncovering something. I think a six. This feels like a six to me. What about you?
Oh, okay. Yeah, it was definitely scarier than I thought it was going to be because I thought, again, like, how to make it fresh was something,
right.
You know, we visited so many times. I'm going to give it a five. I think it was very satisfying, and I do find Munchausen and anything medical, I find terrifying. And
yes.
You know, obviously, the abuse of children, horrific.
Yes.
So, yeah, I'm going to go with a five. I feel like that feels right. All right. Well, everyone, thank you so much for listening.
Yes.
We really appreciate it. And also, I just want to say, we just got an email with a very cordial wedding invitation inviting us to somebody's wedding, which is so sweet.
That's so sweet.
I will say it is in a different state that either of us live, so we probably won't be able to make it, but that is so sweet, and we really appreciate you inviting us. Yes. That's really kind. And honest to God, I go to bed at 9 and I don't drink anymore, so I wouldn't even be much fun at a reception. I wish you got me 10 years ago.
But, yeah.
but thank you. That's very sweet of you. Yes. And until next time, we cordially invite you to please keep it spooky.
Keep it mommy.
Keep it mommy.
Don't forget to follow us at Ruin Podcast and Crooked Media on Instagram, Twitter, and TikTok for show updates. And if you're as opinionated as we are, consider dropping us a review. Ruined is a Radio Point and Crooked Media production. We're your writers and hosts, Hallie Kiefer and Allison Leiby. The show is executive produced by Alex Bach, Sabrina Fonfetter, and Houston Snyder, and recorded and edited by Kat Iosa. From Crooked Media, our executive producer is Kendra James, with production and promotional support from Ari Schwartz, Kyle Sieglin, Julia Beach, Caroline Dunphy, and Awa Okolade.
Brand new luxury apartments. If you're in the market, listen. Brand new luxury apartments. Champion has a new property, River Park of Dublin, which is a mile south of Dublin. Location is everything. Spacious 1, 2, and 3-bedroom homes, designer finishes, resort-style amenities, exceptional customer service. That's Champion. Champion's brand new luxury apartments, River Park of Dublin. Now do something about it. Visit livewithchampion.com. Livewithchampion.com.
One of the largest Star Wars fan collections in the world is coming to Kosai. Unofficial Galaxies opens on May 10th, and this is a one-of-a-kind exhibition with iconic characters, props, legendary ships, costumes, and behind-the-scenes secrets. It's going to be a must-see whether you're a hardcore Star Wars fan or just curious about one of the most famous sci-fi franchises of all time. Unofficial Galaxies is coming to Kosai starting on May 10th. So get your tickets now at kosai.org.
Legends, the greatest social casino experience, has arrived at Legends.com. With thousands of the best free-to-play casino-style games, chances to earn millions of bonus coins and win real money. Legends is revolutionizing the Vegas experience wherever you are. If you love winning, then you'll love playing at Legends.com. Legends is a free-to-play social casino. Void where prohibited. Play responsibly. Visit Legends.com for more information. Legends with a Z.com is legendary fun.